When I was graduating from high school at the ceremony, the graduation ceremony, the speaker was trying to encourage, you know, a room full of young people who think they're really, you know, I'm kind of small and insignificant, don't know if I can make a big difference in the world. And I can remember what the graduation speaker said. He said, "If you don't believe that small things can have a big impact, you have never slept with a mosquito." It's true. Small things can have a huge influence. A small little voice can make a big sound in a room like this, right on cue. Well done, Jack. Jesus is going to use two small things as illustrations, as a parable, to show just how big an impact the kingdom has. It's a mustard seed and it's leaven. But here's the thing. I want to be really clear about this. It would be fun and easy to just look at this passage as a motivational speech, as a graduation speaker. "Oh, thanks, Pastor. I'll just go work on that. I'll try to be seed. I'll try to be leaven." But in order to understand this to its fullest, you have to first not receive it as a motivational speech, but as the good news of the gospel. So in the sermon, there's really going to be two points. First is to trust in the king, and then to participate in his kingdom. So let me read the passage, and then we'll work our way through. This is Luke chapter 13, starting with verse 18. He said, "Therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden. And it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in their branches." And again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like the leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leavened." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So first, let's understand the parable and its significance for understanding the gospel. And then we can have our motivational speech. We'll get to that because it's very inspiring. But first, let's make sure we understand what Jesus is talking about and how it relates to trusting in him as king. Did you notice the symmetry in the passage, the parallelism? Like, it is beautifully written the way that he tells this. He starts with a question for both. What is the kingdom like? To what shall we compare it? And then he gives the phrase, "The kingdom is like a mustard seed. The kingdom is like leaven." Now, both of these are very small. The seed, it's one of the tiniest seeds that we know. The leaven is just a little pinch of yeast. And then he says that a man, did you notice, a man planted it and a woman hid it. It's not just that the seed is small, it's that it gets buried. It's actually unseen. And it's not just that the leaven is a small amount, it's that it gets hidden. This is really important to know, that the kingdom of God might at times exist what's dormant, hidden, unseen. But then what are the results? The seed grows into a tree, and, you know, I've got to look up, like, how tall does this tree get? About 10 to 20 feet tall. Smallest seed, 10 to 20 feet tall. And I had to look up the three measures of flour. Some translators, they say it's actually 50 pounds of flour. A little bit of yeast goes through. I mean, that's a whole lot of dough. Can you imagine that dough ball when it rises? That's the result, but then what is the benefit? Well, the tree grows so that birds can come and nest and find shelter. So the kingdom of God, actually, as it grows, it's for the benefit of others, that it can be welcomed, that they can be welcomed and have life. The leaven rises and brings abundance to the whole loaf. You thought about that? Like, the kingdom of God is like good for the surrounding world and culture. The kingdom of God starts small, but it's persistent, and then in the end, it's expansive. Now, I know we don't talk a lot about kingdoms in our culture, and for good reason, right? We don't have a king. Like, we resisted that. We have a world that's much more democratic. So let's think about what Jesus is actually saying here when he talks about kingdom, because it's not a geopolitical nation state. He's actually talking about the kingdom of God is wherever what God wants done is done. It's the range of his effective will, which means the kingdom of God can show up inside of me. It can show up among us as a people when what God wants done is done among us. Think of it this way. Christ is the king of this kingdom. And how is that kingdom brought about? Jesus comes. He ministers. He's crucified, buried, he's raised. On the third day, he ascends into heaven. He sends the Holy Spirit. And now his reign, wherever that comes, it comes through when we trust in him. When we give our allegiance to Jesus, we are participating in his coming. And it's coming. It's small, it's persistent, and it's expansive, just like the seed, just like the leaven. This is hard for the church. Can we just be real for a minute? We want big, flashy things. Like, we want spectacle. The Hebrew people that were listening to this, the Jewish people, they wanted big. They wanted quick. They wanted a king that was going to show up and usher in a political reign right then and there. So there's actually a warning in this to us. As a church, we need to be really careful not to buddy up next to power to say, hey, give us a good seat. Hey, let us be part of the spectacle. The Bible is very clear. Watch out for buddying up with warriors, for trusting in horses and chariots and kings. Yahweh is our king. So before you can get into the pep talk that is this passage, you have to give your allegiance to King Jesus, because ultimately, he's the seed. Jesus is the seed. Jesus is the leaven. Think about it. How does Jesus show up? Tiny. I mean, bigger than a mustard seed, but that size. That's the king? Not in a palace on a throne? No. They wrap him in cloths and put him in a manger. And then when he's a toddler, the king actually wants to kill him, and so he has to flee. Our Savior, our king, was a refugee in Egypt. Oh, but we want spectacle, right? Well, what about his miracles? That was a spectacle, right? Yeah, but where did he do his miracles? In the backwater towns of Galilee. In fact, when he goes to Jerusalem, he comes riding in on a donkey, the small. And he goes face to face with the formidable powers of evil, and he doesn't even bring a sword. He lets them kill him. But then he gets buried. He gets hidden in the tomb. And 3 days later, he rises. But even in that spectacle, right, that he's right, who gets the message? It's women. It's on the lips of people who would not be trusted in court. They weren't credible witnesses. And that's who God picks to give the story of salvation? Yep. Because then they go and they poke on the disciples. And the disciples, they come and they see. And sure enough, from those 11, and then throw in Paul too, they start planting churches. And what happens? It is this persistent and then eventually expansive kingdom that comes. From only a few, it's a worldwide community of followers. You are sitting in this room. If you trust in Jesus, it's because of those 11 that told somebody that we now have, think of the trees full of people resting in the salvation of Jesus Christ. Think of the leaven of good works that happens around the world in the name of Christ. And think of all that is yet to come because of the hope we have in Christ. Oh, it's small, but it's persistent and it's expansive. But you understand, the first thing we do is to give our allegiance to King Jesus. Okay, now the pep talk. Because we don't just trust in Jesus, we actually get to participate in his kingdom. But it's small. Remember that. It's persistent and then expansive. So let's look at those adjectives. First, it's small. There's a book called Agile Church, and in it the author describes lots of little small acts of mustard seed, of leaven, that take place. He tells the story of Charles, who's getting his glasses fitted. And he's lamenting that he has a long winter's drive ahead of him. And the technician says, well, how are you going to plan on making it through that drive? And he says, I guess I'm just going to pray. The technician says, are you close to God? That's the questions that are out there waiting in our world. Are you close to God? Now, he could have kept his faith private, but he tosses out a little mustard seed and simply says, yes. And what happens? An entire conversation with this woman about the love of Jesus, and he has for her. A mustard seed. Rich is also a mustard seed. He's a professional cellist. And he's put all this time and energy into this craft, but he also has this God-given talent, and he wants to give back. He wants to give to people who are dying. And so he calls up the local hospice chapter, and he volunteers to play his cello by the bedside of those who are dying. Or it's Jenny, who's a school teacher. And she has that mindless task of hanging her students' artwork. And she could just do it mindlessly, or she could grade those papers mindlessly, but every time she encounters one of her students' names, she stops to say a prayer. Or the physician, who doesn't just line up the patients back to back to back to back to back, but when they stop to fill out the chart, I'm going to pray over this. They're small, little, bitty seeds. That's all it takes. That's how it starts. My fourth grade teacher prayed for me. I was in a public school, so I didn't know that she prayed for me. But when I graduated from college and she found out I was going into ministry, I get a random phone call from Miss Russell, and she tells me how she prayed for me. You see, it starts small, but it's persistent. Mother Teresa says that we don't do great things, we can only do little things with great love. It's persistent. Biological growth is persistent. Have you noticed that? You can't ever see it happening. But over time, things grow. There was a little boy in Lagos who just had a birthday, and Angela and I caught him in the hallway to wish him a happy birthday. We said, oh, do you feel older now that you've had your... That's what adults always say. Oh, do you feel older, buddy? He goes, no, I don't feel any older, but my shoes are getting smaller. And that's it. That's growth. I don't know if you've... I've shared it before, the story of the evangelist in England who was walking through a cemetery, and he saw a headstone completely split in two with an oak tree growing up through it. And you think, what wins between an acorn and a headstone? The acorn always wins when it finds that crack. It's persistent. Mark Sayers, in his book about leadership, he talks about seeds and how they lie in dormancy. I love this. I didn't know this, but apparently in 2008, researchers found in the ruins of King Herod's palace a seed. a 2,000-year-old seed. Now, I'd like to be in that lab because they're like, what do you want to do? Let's plant it and see what happens. It grew into a palm plant. This is what he says about it. Seeds can preserve and transport life over great times and distances, encasing potential within their tiny form. Contained within them is everything that they will be. Seeds wait to expand into their full potential in the right environment. There are many dreams for the church, for the world, and for your life that may seem dead at the moment. The seed reminds us not to mistake dormancy for death. As a parent, I find great hope and comfort in that truth. I know a lot of grandparents that are praying a lot of prayers. Don't mistake dormancy for death. We don't know what God is up to. And 2,000 years of that seed sitting there. The kingdom is small, but it is persistent. And friends, in the end, it's expansive. When we say expansive, you know there's a difference between mechanical growth and organic growth. Mechanical growth is just a pile getting bigger, right? Like if I take like seeds and just throw them and keep throwing, like, okay, that's a bigger pile of seeds. Organic growth is when you take the seed and plant it in the ground and it actually grows in its complexity. It becomes more mature. It's not just more seeds. It actually, like, now it has bark and it has branches and it has leaves. What happens in the kingdom of God, is organic growth. It's growing in complexity and maturity as it expands over time. Can I share a personal story about the kingdom and three seeds or leaven that was planted in my life? One seed, her name is Elsie Dodson. And on February 5th of 1984, she was an elder in my home church. And so when I was baptized on that Sunday morning, Elsie was the elder who stood up at my baptism, representing the congregation as they would pray for me to nurture me in the faith and be raised as a disciple. The next seed is a man named Jeff Ketchum. He saw a teenager who had some musical gifts, and he took a guitar and put it in my hands. And he said, meet me on Sunday afternoon, right before youth group, and I'll teach you three or four chords. And he taught me how to lead worship for the youth group. A small seed. Another mentor, his name's Lee Butler. He saw a teenager going through tragedy with his parents' divorce. And he said, I can't do a lot, but I can buy cheeseburgers for you, and I can play tennis with you. And so we did. Small little bitty seeds. So that when it came time years later for my ordination as a minister of word and sacrament, Lee Butler was at the lectern giving the charge to me. Jeff Ketchum had come back from out of town to strum and lead worship for us, and Elsie Dodson was in the pew singing along with us. This is how God works. This is what God does. Like, in a very real way, Elsie, her seat is still here. It's still multiplying. The smallest little thing that you may do, there's no clue what God has in store. So friends, we trust in Jesus. But this morning, at this baptism, we have a really special opportunity to plant seeds. There's an elder in our church, and he said, you know, sometimes, Pastor, just give us some homework. I'm like, really? You want homework? He's like, yeah, just, like, you know, give us something to do. I'm like, okay. I'm going to give you two pieces of homework this week. One has to do with the past, and one has to do with the future. The first piece of homework is I want you to think of who has been a seed for you. Could be Miss Russell. Who's somebody that, and it's the tiniest little thing, but that put you on a totally different path, and you are here trusting in Jesus because of that person. And your homework is if they're still living, to reach out to them and say thank you. But certainly to take the time that we have in worship and the rest of the week to thank God for them. That's the first homework. Thank God for the seeds of the past. The next homework, to be a seed. In the week ahead, what is one thing that you can do? Maybe it's just a simple yes to a technician at the eye doctor. And trust that God will do what he does. Give your allegiance to King Jesus and then participate in his kingdom. Even though it starts small, it is expansive, it is persistent, and look at what God can do. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.